already.
Eight forty-five on the clock. Let's call to order the Gates County Board of Supervisors regular meeting, Wednesday, July 9th, 2014.
They do.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Because they have the Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Bauman, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Next is the consent agenda. The consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approval of minutes held on meeting of approval of the minutes from the meeting held on June 25th, 2014. Approve all claims through July 9th, 2014 in the amount of $306,917.26.
Did you change it or 309?
Oh,
you
did. New, this is an updated figure. Okay. Had a payroll change.
Approve and place on file. File all correspondence received. Approve registered deeds fee report for June 2014. Approve bid for a 1993 Crown Vic. That's the agenda items on the consent agenda 1 through 6. A motion to approve or disapprove or consider something separate.
I'll move to approve.
Move to approve by Kathy.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
What kind of bid did you get on the Crown Vic?
We'll see.
I did talk to the other individual again and told him, you know, if he wanted to drop something off. I had two other ones, but they didn't.
Brian Weirs for $100. Brian Weirs has a Beatrice address. Dawn will drive it and drop it off.
Well, no, it's up
to you.
Is
it downhill? Does it have to roll downhill to get there?
I think they can get around 150 for scrap. That's what I was told. So,
do we know scrap price?
Probably 2.5.
And that's probably what he's going to do with it, is scrap it. I mean,
scrap will make money.
I think it probably is worth more than that than scrap,
but they didn't send a bid.
Well, as right now, we approved this bid, but we didn't.
Well, we can pull that one off and not accept it.
But can we do that legally?
I mean, you get a motion to approve it, you'd have to pull it off your consent agenda.
And then what do we do with
it? And then not approve the bid.
When you advertised it, did you reserve?
It was advertised more than once, and we didn't get anything. And then I had some calls. People wanted to put in that they wanted it. And then I had two individuals that contacted me that wanted it. One I contacted about for scrap so we can move forward with it. And then that's when I got the conversations with other ones that wanted it. Here's where we're at.
I was going to say, you know, you can reject all bids on a competitive bidding deal, but it's like, you know, reject it and get 150 next time?
Technically, after, at this point, it wasn't advertised anymore. We were done with, because we did
twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a policy decision from the board.
It's got a motion in a second. We've sat on this thing for a while. Let's get it out of here. Let them come pick it up. Be gone with it. Unless someone has a huge aversion to that. We do have a motion in a second. You'd like to...
We had that discussion Monday with Gus about the night of destruction. He was destruction. They use it in there for the sheriff's department, and he keeps saying no. Yeah, So,
two or three guys push it around the track. For the discussion, any angst? Anyone wants to pull this off? I'm in favor of letting it go and just getting rid of it. And the three rats that I think are living in it.
As long as they take those along.
For the discussion vote, 7-0 to approve the consent agenda. Next, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. If you want to speak on anything related to the county, you're welcome to. And if there's anything on the agenda you want to speak to, we can do that when that comes up. Jump right into committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Nothing. Dave stays on top of everything, has small things that we just deal with, and he is very, very good at that, and nothing unusual to report.
Equalization.
Equalization, I'll just repeat, We are having protests the next several weeks. Tomorrow morning, we start our protests at 8:45, and we'll hear protests all day. We will take an hour for lunch, but we will hear protests all day, and then we hear protests again on Friday the 18th. And the entire Equalization Committee, the entire board, will meet after our meeting on the 23rd. Our regular board meeting will meet, and a special meeting at 1 o'clock to approve or disapprove all the recommendations of the Equalization Committee, the Protest Committee. But tomorrow will be John Hill, Terry Juergens, and myself hearing protests, and on the 18th will be Terry, Kathy, and myself. So just bring everybody up to date. We have 149 protests for this year.
Finance and insurance?
Finance, visited a little bit with Galen there. Going to start, hopefully get the budget in there, the proposed budget pretty soon for the road and bridge, the highway department. Otherwise, a lot of the budgets, Don said, their proposed budgets have come in, attempting to get finalized the final numbers from last year. And once we do that, then we'll start having some meetings and going over each department or the departments and stuff, and if need be, having conversations with them. And that's basically where that's at. Trying to think of what else we had for finance. A lot, basically, just the budget, and keep working on that and try to get that moving forward.
Human Resource, Employee Relations.
No report.
Law Enforcement.
Yes. One more thing. We're trying to set up insurance. I forgot about the insurance part. We're trying to Don's going to get a meeting set up with Amber so that we can Amber and the others.
Tentatively, I have July 30th, if that works.
July 30th?
She got back to me.
So that we can they usually come up with a pretty good idea of maybe if, you know, what our proposed next year will be. They won't know until sometime in December, but they'll have a pretty good idea. And then we'll visit about other things, too, with Obamacare and everything to make sure we're meeting all those standards or new specifications and stuff. But we need to get that going, too, so that we...
And then we thought we could time it maybe if that meeting worked out and then have a meeting for the employees in August, maybe toward the latter part of August, once we have our figures in and pass what we want to do. And then that time we'll have an open enrollment the last week before, because our plan starts September 1st. So we'll have an open enrollment period last week in August.
Because insurance is a big part of our budget, insurance for the employees. And
still about $1 million we spend.
What?
Still about $1 million.
Yeah.
A little over now.
We budget just a little over $1 million, yeah, and stuff for that. But I don't think this last year we quite got up there.
No, and we did get some refunds and things. So.
Things and stuff. So.
Okay. Their amount.
Yeah. So. Right. Forgot to bring that up. Sorry, but.
Million here, million there.
Yeah, million here, million there.
Yeah. Okay. Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
Let's see, on the emergency management side, been keeping Tim busy chasing clouds and making sure that nothing's blown over, and still getting himself acquainted. Other than that, really don't have a whole lot on either one of those to discuss, I don't think.
Anything, Gus? No? All right. Still get those, I'll just say, because we talked about it in committee, still get the, what I call contraband that enters the courthouse, that report. Amazing the stuff that comes in here. Okay, Road and Bridge, Terry.
Okay, Matt. I'll briefly run down where the projects are at on all the road improvements and bridges. On the Philly North project, the curve is... Probably dirt work is being done, has been done. Maybe it's done by now as far as straightening that curve out. And they started last week, I know, driving pilings on the west side of the bridge. So It's progressing along well. Looks like it's going to be a big improvement for that area, what I see. Hickory Road, Deb has some meetings, had some meetings with Coke concerning the fog issues that was brought up. That road through there, if there's anything that could be done to lower the or heighten the safety in that area. So there's discussions there. Ann has been talking to some landowners in that first mile area.
Staking west of the bridge, the right way.
I don't know if that's done yet.
It's not completed. No. We met with the landowner regarding the drip line.
Right.
Where we could
stay. Okay.
See where we're going to end up.
But we're going to be doing that so that the landowners will have an idea of how it will affect each of them and stuff. So know that, and that's just right now, just west of the bridge. They're going to do the whole way. Oh, they're going to do the whole thing. Okay.
Part of the problem with that is, you know, there's a lot of corn.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult to see those markings. You know, you'll be able to see them on either edge, of course. But I don't think there's going to be much done in the cornfield because you won't, you know. Number one, if it's hot, you don't want to be in there. Number two, you know, won't be able to identify it the whole way. So, but you'll get a good area, a good idea, you know, at the start and the finish of the field. So that could be a little bit of a problem. When I went back by last night, I do believe they're probably complete with the overlay on the PWS, or very close.
At the north lane headed towards Jefferson County line to do yet. That's what they started on this morning.
Okay.
And part of that done in the first mile.
Okay, that's what I saw when I went through. All right. So that more likely could get completed today.
I'd say it'll be a long day, but they should get.
Yeah. I know the county crews have been up at Adams doing some shouldering and stuff, and maybe Galen. Being you've got the daily report, maybe would you give a report on the whole progress of all the road projects and overlays just for a minute, please? You, I mean, we talked about this Monday, but a lot's happened since Monday, too. So,
yeah, as we talked on the PWF, they had about a quarter mile done, started in the north lane. They did have a couple small areas that they had to dig up and patch ahead of that. Like I said, it'll be a long day, but they should complete the PWF. Yesterday they did start milling on the Wymore to Liberty stretch. They started almost at the midpoint, and they're headed towards Wymore. I'm not whole for sure why they actually started where they started. I thought they were going to start at Wymore and head towards Liberty, but they did start about, let's say where witnesses live, and are headed towards Wymore on that. As soon as they get done with PWF, they are going to head over there and start overlaying on the Wymore to Liberty Road. It's the last I've been told on that stretch. We're up still doing, with the rain delays, we haven't got a whole lot more shouldering done on Adams, but the crews are up there, and we're going to mow down the grass again in places because it's grown quite a bit since we mowed it here about a month ago. Then we're going to try to do some shouldering if it's not too muddy. The asphalt crew, have started putting up some chat rock on the south side of the PWF at the main entrances of the township roads where they cross, because there's a couple of them had pretty good drop off, and that's what they're working on again today. When they finish the and the asphalt crew moves out of there, that's doing the overlaying, then we'll start on the field drives and the rest of the other intersections to get that done. That's basically it right now. The bridge crew, they have removed the old bridge. We've got the creek channel shaped. We're ready to start putting in what I call the false work so we can set up the piling and drive the piling. That'll be started next Monday when the bridge foreman gets back from vacation.
The steel is delivered down there.
Steel is delivered at the site, right. Yes.
Yep.
That's basically it.
And I happened to drive the Liberty Road last night, and, you know, that is, they got about 3/4 mile milled there. Mm-hmm. But in places, the base was breaking through already.
Mm-hmm. After the board meeting today, I'm going to meet Josh with Manili Wagner down there, and we're going to drive that. And we're also going to video that whole road for the condition it is now, to the condition that it is since they got the milling done. And we're going to discuss what you just brought up on that. Because in the contract, it just states in there if the road is damaged, by the contractor while he's overlaying it, then it's up to the contractor to foot the bill for the repairs on it, on this. So we got to keep real close track of it, because the first thing they're going to say, well, the base underneath of it wasn't no good, so that's why this went through. So we'll see what comes about of this.
On here. Sounds good.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Galen, I have a question about striping and signage along the roads that are being specifically speed limits and stuff for our Supervisor Dorn over there. seriousness, though, the striping and the signage, how quickly would that follow in these roads?
The striping is as soon as they get done with the PWF. They said that they'd bring the striper in and stripe the PWF and the Adams Philly Blacktop on that. So they were going to go ahead and stripe the Adams Philly here last week, and then they wanted to know if it was okay to wait until they got the PWF done so they didn't have to bring the paint rig back down so close together. So we said, yeah, that'd be fine. So.
Okay, Hickory, PWF, Liberty Road, talked about that. Culverts are still on schedule for the Liberty Road to be delivered. There's three we have to put in yet. The first one is scheduled for a delivery date of 7/14. So, shoulder work. The another project, the Wymore Bridge project, the to kind of put it in layman's terms, there was an area that had to be replaced in the approach, I think. Someplace. So at the time it was done last fall, the state inspector, they had to take out a section, replace it. The state inspector said the mix that they were using would be fine. They went ahead and reported it. Now all of a sudden the higher ups say it's not good enough. So they're wanting to withhold $3,000 from the contractor for this. Martinelli was here concerning it, said, you know, it's not fair to the contractor. He was done doing as he was told at the time from the local inspector. Well, then now this higher-up say, well, he didn't have that authority to give that statement to him. So, anyway, long story short, we told Mark to proceed. You know, we don't think it's fair to stick the contractor for that amount of money when it was not his fault. It was the state's fault. So, but the state has denied those extra charges at this time. We'll proceed and go through a few more steps, see what we can get done. Budget, we've talked about that preliminary. Myron brought off already as far as the roads department, and that's about it.
Okay. Next, we'll move a little bit here on the agenda. We have a timed event at 9:30. We'll move and receive the County Highway Superintendent's report and recommendations on a possible road closing in Sicily Township. Galen, if you could, you want to present that to us, please?
Okay, this is my report for the road study and letter of recommendation. The location's in Section 17, 2 North, 6 East, Sicily Township. And it is a portion of the public road running east and west, beginning at the intersection of West Olive Road and Southwest 45 Road, going east for 1/2 mile, and it's all in Section 17. The legal description is attached to my letter, and pursuant to the petition presented to the county clerk and resolution dated April 4th, 2014, directing the highway superintendent to study said road as stated above for possible closure, my findings are as follows. The road is a township road that had been closed to through traffic for more than 25 years. The road was closed due to bridge failure. This road has been used mainly for access to adjoining farm ground. Sicily Township is responsible for this portion of the road and supports the closure of said road. Adjoining area landowners have shown support for this closure by signing a petition as presented to the county clerk. Based on the statements set forth above, I hereby recommend that the west 1/2 mile of this road be closed, and Gage County can proceed with the road closures public hearing and set the time and date for public hearing accordingly.
Questions for Galen? Seeing none, I'll move forward to approve or disapprove a resolution setting a time and date for a public hearing to close and vacate a portion of the road the highway superintendent just described. Resolution number
14-15.
Need a motion to approve or disapprove. Setting the public hearing date.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Any further discussion? Seeing none, vote 7-0.
And that's going to be?
That date will be?
August 6th at 9:15.
August 6th, 2014 at?
9:15.
Thank you, Gannon. Next, let's see. We got time to end here.
It was too late. Is this for the whole mile, or is this for?
This will be for the west half mile.
West half mile.
Yeah. The one that we had done previously was for the east half mile.
And so we had the public hearing on that.
We have the public hearing on the east half mile. Now we're having it on the
west half mile.
And this will be for the whole closure of the whole mile.
The whole mile.
Okay, let's have a discussion, and we'll stop if we run a little bit because we'll have it time to vent. I mean, a discussion regarding how we should proceed with the weed superintendent position. This is a result of Debra resigning her position, and she currently serves as our weed superintendent. So in the past, I know myself, former chairman and former board member Rex Adams have talked about maybe looking at an outside entity that we'd use for spraying to contract. We would probably open that up for bids or proposals to see who would meet that requirement. My understanding is it's more of an administrative type position. We're not actually physically going out and spraying, or as Mr. Juergens does, walk around with a hoe and cut down all your thistles, but it is more of an administrative type position, am I correct? And so then we would have somebody else go out and spray them anyway. So I guess I'll start that discussion but how does the board want to proceed?
Can we have Debra come up maybe and explain a little bit what it entails or what we're doing?
Good morning. Debra Marshall Brown, Gage County Highway Department, Weed Superintendent. The position is it's involved with spring and fall conferences. This position has to meet a 20-hour minimum requirement with the state to keep with continued education. Then also the actual weed superintendent goes out and inspects, takes on the complaints or phone calls or letters, and sometimes they're anonymous. People come in also and go out and inspect and locate who the landowner is and speak with the landowner regarding the issues of what's noxious or invasive or what's actually on their property, and try to work with them to get them to start cleaning this up or shredding them, or at rosette stage spraying them, and then giving them some information on what they can use and how they can go about eliminating or at least getting it. It takes years for this to start getting to an elimination factor if they can ever eradicate it. And then if that place that they don't respond, then we go forward with certified letters, a 10-day notice. So and you've got to keep files, and then those disposition reports, if it was generated by the state agricultural department, then those reports have to go back to the state agriculture. And then they do follow-ups, and then finally a closeout. And then there's yearly, at the end of the year, reports that have to be filed with the state. So there is a lot of administrative, and Matt signs them at the end of the year, and there's quite a few forms. And it's regarding the whole county as far as all the weeds and then the ones that are popping up suddenly that have not been in the county before and actually reporting on those, too. So that's just kind of a general overview, and it is basically administrative, but it's also contact and some inspections. So it really is a part-time that I have taken the position. It's been part-time, but really, because of my other functions, it's probably a little bit less than part-time for me, and it should be more because there's a lot to it at this time of the year and at the end of the year and conferences. So.
And we have historically as a board not, it's been somewhat reactive, meaning it's complaint-driven. We're not encouraging, nor have we ever been so proactive as to say, drive every road in the county once every 6 weeks and see what's out there. It's most, and that's to some, friend to the folks in the county that said, why haven't you addressed this? There's all this out there. Well, thank you. Where is it located? Because we're not out there actively inspecting. It's basically complaint-driven, is my understanding. But once there's a problem, then we keep track and she follows up and she inspects and things like that. So,
I guess, just for my, what are most of the complaints, weed complaints out there? What are most of them?
Musk thistle.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It's always been that way. Yeah.
But leafy spurge.
Mostly musk thistle is the biggest complaint, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
And going back 20 years, I mean, from where we were to where we are now, I mean, I'm not saying they're all gone, but I mean, the numbers are way, way, way down. I mean, for what reason, I don't know. I think there's more, spraying been going on. But, I mean, it's not near the problem it used to be. That's all I'm going to say.
And the state requires this position to always attend for 3 years every single orientation class that they've got. So if it's a spring and fall conference, then this position has to go the day before for orientation for 3 solid years, not 3 times, but 3 years. And in that, you really do learn a lot about the forms that have to be filed, about it's more the administrative part of that to get a new weed superintendent kind of up and running, because there is a lot of forms that the state requires to be sent back.
And my understanding is back, I think even before I was on the board, where they would call and have a third party do the spraying, is it was an economic benefit because we didn't have to own the equipment. We didn't have to have all that. You were paying for a service but weren't maintaining the equipment.
And they have to be licensed, and that it to even be on a list to be considered. So,
you know, we can go out and try to find somebody part-time to do that. Does it need to be a little bit more than part-time? I mean, I guess that's the discussion we need to have, because as we wait, I'll get letters at home, and then in the past they've shown up here, mm-hmm. State of Nebraska, asking us, where's our weed superintendent? So as such, there's no penalties, because I remember that discussion once, is that there's really no penalties for not having them, but as a public body we should follow state law as well. So we need to have one.
That's right.
You can utilize another weed superintendent from an adjoining county, too. If you wanted to, where it's part-time, a lot of counties share an individual.
Can I speak on
something? Yeah.
You were talking about you're going to have a outsider come in. Just one thing you might remember about that, with being a weed superintendent, you have access to all lands. Have more access than what the sheriff does. And that's why you have to do the continuing ed, so it allows the state to give you the right, or the weed superintendent's the right to inspect all lands basically at will. And so if you have a outsider, they have to realize that they have access to all lands if they're going to be the weed superintendent. So then that might cause problems with your locals, with, you know, people knowing, you know, certain contractors on certain lands, and might cause a little bit of a battle, I would think. I mean, that's just a thought.
Do you have all those certifications?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what I'm thinking? Do you have any idea what I'm thinking here?
Yeah.
I visited with Tim about this a couple of weeks ago, and I know that when going through the hiring process and the discussions about emergency management, it's historically, going back probably a decade, it became kind of a catch-all position. And I know that we, at times, we really wanted to stay away from that, because we just pulled that person in 6, 8, 10 different directions. And so,
When you have an emergency manager who wants to do that type of thing, though, we certainly don't want to deprive him of any opportunity.
It's not that I don't want to, but I don't know yet. I don't say how John McKee does all his stuff he does, but in Jefferson. But yeah, there's a lot of things you have to have this, the spraying license, but it's not that big of a deal because, you know, how gauge works. But it also counts against your score that you have with your annual report that you get.
And the board's aware of that.
When right.
Whenever
and that's
I
up to
we,
you guys.
We talk about that because if you don't have it, then the score does come down. You know, that evaluation, they come in and give a review. So we've discussed that too. But he's right. It does give the weed superintendent, they have, it goes by under federal guidelines where they have access to lands and that it's not considered trespassing. And
right.
They can absolutely get on that property and a landowner cannot make them leave. So.
That's not
some
new,
do,
that,
but
that's been there. That's not new.
Now,
that's been
black
there.
Lab chasing you can make you leave.
Some try. It's best that you leave, you know, just so you don't cause any problems. But
sure.
And then contact later with more. You know, it's in your handbook that you have, you know, the weed, the Nebraska.
I wouldn't encourage any public person to be, or public official to be overtly aggressive about not getting off.
Oh, right.
Just
exactly.
Leave and deal with it later, yeah.
Exactly.
And your point about the weeds with the... Some of it's because of, you know, Roundup Ready type stuff. But,
but
the city has some pretty good musk thistle problems, if you haven't noticed.
The city does?
And they don't have a weed superintendent either. So,
are they supposed to have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had one. And I think he's been gone a little over a year now, I think. So
we've got some time.
We don't have any jurisdiction in the city, do we? We would just be outside.
Yeah,
of
just
we
do.
We're over them, but yet they want to have authority over
it's,
it.
It's so. still a property. It doesn't matter who it is. Any landowner, if it's county land, city land, or just private land, they're all responsible. State land, all that's responsible to take care of it. They have to.
We do refer them to the city if someone calls in about a city. Property, we do refer them to the city because that's in this particular county, that's how the city wanted to work with us, that we report everything to them if it's in the city, so that's what we do. But we manage it. Like, for instance, out at the Veterans Park, there's some stuff out there that was planted on purpose that we're trying to deal with, so it's been there for quite a while, so...
I bet Tobias would get a kick out of an enforcement letter coming from the county. How'd that one go? Well, it's a discussion we need to have because we're at that point.
That's the main thing. If you guys are thinking about an outside contractor, that they're going to have to go to at least two trainings a year. And that's the full train. You can't miss any of it. You have to be... You have to be there for a roll call in the morning, a roll call in the afternoon. You have to take the test in the afternoon. And you got to come back the next day and do the same thing over again. Like she said, they all like to have the new superintendent to do the first 3 years and have that extra day. So you got to do that also. So there's a requirement to it. And if they don't do that, then they don't want to do that. It's going to be kind of hard to handle because that is how they say yes, that the state will allow that weed superintendent crossed into public land.
Even if we hired what a so-called license applicator or person like that, they would still be required to...
Well, no, not if they're working on the superintendent. If you have a superintendent here, if the superintendent, I believe, I might be wrong with this, but if they hire someone to contract spray for them, but that normally would come after the 10-day notice or whatever.
But I mean... A little bit of the conversation here is, do we hire an outside person to do the weed superintendent? If we hired a licensed applicator as that person, they would still
they would still
be required. So
the application license has nothing to do with the
it
training.
Doesn't. Okay, okay.
That's how the state legislators set it up, from what my understanding, to allow this weed contractor superintendent, or however you want to phrase it, to have access to all lands in the state.
Okay.
That's how they got that right to do that. Of course, then they have to put the spring and fall notices in the newspaper. That's the minimum.
And there's a certain deadline for those notices. If you're after that, then that also gets countered against your reviews. There's a lot of things
right.
that are in
yeah,
account.
Basically, right. if you don't have it by that date, then basically the people don't have to abide by that.
Yeah.
that notice.
Absolutely.
So if it's, I think it's like August 31st or whatever, I think, is the, or maybe it's October, I don't remember, for the fall.
Well, yeah, then it's August 31st, and then the first one's by May 1st, you really, or May 5th, you've got to have it in there.
So if you put it out in November, and then there's weeds out there or whatever, the people say, I didn't see the notice. The notice was late. They could fight that against you.
Well, Terry, I think you need to take our local resident expert out to lunch and maybe kind of talk him into it.
And it takes,
I think
more
I could persuade him.
If it takes more than two of you, I always call Terry and he'll let me know if he needs my help. But, you know, when Deborah's pretty much decided she's not going to move, and so we have, you know, a lot of these things taken care of, right?
I think it shows it may be a small item for what we see on the budget. We may, our perception may be it's a few times a year, but you see the seriousness that the state of Nebraska takes by the process and everything. So,
and that goes back to the right of the land. Basically.
Right. And you go back to the people who call in. When that person calls with a complaint, it is very serious to them, and it is of utmost importance that it's taken care of. So we need to kind of give it some weight and really think about how we proceed forward with this and Deborah's exit. So.
And I'll just bring up, you mentioned budget there a little bit ago. We used to have a little bit bigger budget because we put in so many dollars a year for the salary, and we can't do salary. So we went to so much more an hour for this position. So, I mean, we still have a weed budget, and there's still some amount in there for spraying or something we do, but that budget is less than if you went and looked 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever and stuff. So we had to incorporate the salary in that direction and stuff. So,
and I will say, and I'll look right at him when I said this, that I did talk to Tim about this, but in fairness to him, he's coming from a county that was significantly smaller with a lot less demands on him, though the job is no less important over there as emergency manager to a county where he's, you know, still trying to figure everything out. So I think it's probably unfair to, hey, here's something else. Put it in your backpack and carry it. But I think we need to look at how we move forward with this and have those discussions. And
well, and another thing I'll bring up, that everybody in the county is used to calling the highway department because that's where our weed superintendent's always been at. You know, so when somebody calls in with a weed, they call the highway department. So if we do change it, I mean, it'll be a learning process too for a lot of people. If you did go that route, or we're going to be hiring a new person down there, do you include it in that? I mean, I'll just throw that out there, too. Do you include it in that as part of the job description, which is what we – I don't know if we did that or forced it on Deborah or whatever, you know. So, I mean, those are other options that are out there yet.
On that discussion I had with Galen on that, he said it would be a whole lot easier probably to hire a position to replace Deb down there if we didn't tag that weed superintendent on it initially. So, because a lot of people back off, you know, whoever would be at whatever, you know, are going to back off. I don't know anything about this, you know. So that's the reason it wasn't put in the description when Galen published the.
Oh, okay.
It definitely deserves the utmost attention to it. And it's, with all what we've been doing at the highway department, it's been a little difficult to keep up with this spring. With those demands, so it is something that deserves that definitely. And then the other thing that this position also has is weed free forage, and that's where I go out and inspect fields for weed free and certify them. So that's another aspect of it that is when a landowner invites you on to their property and allows you to review it, and then you certify it that it is weed-free. And so when they bail that, you know, especially if it's in-state or out-of-state, it's depending how that's tagged. That's just another aspect of it.
Yeah, and you're just looking for the
noxious
weeds.
Noxious.
So think about it. We'll come back in a couple weeks, and maybe over the next couple weeks, kick it around, come up with some different ideas, and...
I would think, you know, the idea of utilizing another county's weed superintendent might be one worth checking into. I don't know if anybody would be interested from one of the adjoining counties, but you'd get somebody with the experience. Unless, of course, we talked him into it first. Otherwise, I think you got to look at a part-time employee probably, and then the job don't get – one job or the other kind of gets pushed to the back if you're doing two different things. And We might be able to find a contract applicator, but I think that'd be tough. The one I talked to wasn't interested. It was like, you know, I could really make my customers happy now.
Well, that was an idea that floated around several years ago.
And that's the other thing is now, you know, you got the contract applicator now being somewhat of the law.
Right.
And that could hurt him also.
Dealing with their own customers as well as somebody else's customers.
I agree with that. Having somebody coming in that is going to sell a service mm-hmm. to come in and say, you have to do something with this, and I've got a... Do you have a badge?
No. Oh, no, there's no badge.
Yeah. Oh, dang it. No gun.
You got any extra 10 badges laying around?
Yeah, I should be weed superintendent, so I go places I want to go. And there you go.
Well, that's just volunteered.
I heard a volunteer.
He even raised his right hand.
And I heard Gus needs more to do.
And the law enforcement committee agreed with that right away. Yeah. That was a great thing.
He's hired.
Which weeds were you looking for?
The funny ones.
Yeah. Well, in all seriousness, we need to, you know, we need to move forward with that. So different ideas, and we'll accept any direction that the current emergency manager would like to provide for us. But
we are lucky. We do have some expertise to help advise us. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming forward.
I was lucky enough to be with Tim in many conferences. So we knew each other before mm-hmm. When he came in and interviewed. It's like, wow, there's Tim. So this was really great. He is very knowledgeable. Obviously, he's been doing this longer than I have. So
not much.
I mean, would be a great asset. So, for it, Tim.
Yes, Gary. My two cents is that I think that as the board, we need to quit pushing that at Tim because I really don't think that that's a good idea, quite frankly. Just saying.
Okay. Well, the last couple things would be a closed session. We'll discuss some personnel. I guess the public hearing will start in 3 minutes, so we'll receive the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission on special use permit number 2014-2 for a poultry production in Blue Springs Township.
Are we going to say goodbye to Deborah? I don't want her sneaking out of here before we say goodbye. Okay.
Not going anywhere. Right. Galen, don't let her get by.
All right.
I'm going to pass out a paper clicker. I'm not sure you have this in your packet, you guys. I'm passing around some measurements that we took in terms of where residences are and so forth. So, anyway, this is a project that consists of six buildings that are 45 wide by 510 feet, which at full capacity they'll house 26,000 birds per building. And if you convert that into AUs, it's 260 AUs per building. So take that times six, you're right at 1,560 AUs. So the applicant is James and Marie Zimmerman. They intend to own the production buildings, and they also intend to do the day-to-day management things too at that facility themselves. It will sit on 40 acres, and it's located in an A1 district. This is an allowable use, so everything's okay there. But they have to, because it's a new facility, and because of the size of the facility, they're required to go through the special use permit process. So we notified 46 landowners, Nancy did. Nancy's here today also to answer any questions that you might have. That's 46 landowners within 1 mile jurisdiction. They were notified twice for our hearing in June and also again for the hearing today. So our zoning regs require a half a mile setback based upon the AUs. So half a mile. So if you're looking at those points there with those measurements, you'll see that the nearest residence is over a half a mile. That measurement is taken from the nearest corner of the manure production site to the nearest wall of the closest residence. So that's how we measure from one to the next. So, you know, the procedure for application just doesn't begin with Gage County. It also begins with the Nebraska DEQ. So all livestock facilities in the state of Nebraska have to comply with Nebraska DEQ regulations and also Title 130. So that's state law. It doesn't matter whether you're new production or if you're an existing producer. The operations, day-to-day operations, and how you eliminate your waste and your pollutants has to always be inspected. So there's a complaint process available through the Nebraska DEQ also. So any complaint that a neighbor might have can be gone right to the Nebraska DEQ, and they can place their complaint. And under the Title 130, DEQ does regulate the inspections, comes out, and then enforces those complaints through either a fee process. So when we wrote the regulations for Gage County zoning, we knew Title 130 was in place, and so we didn't overstep our boundaries through Title 130 and the laws that are jurisdiction through that Title 130. So one of the requirements of the Zimmermans, they had to get the process started with the DEQ, they had to supply a management plan. So that was something that if you look in their application that you have the copies for, there is a letter from the Nebraska DEQ that states how they have to control that waste facility. One thing about poultry manure, this is not a poop lesson at all, but poultry manure is a dry matter. It's unlike cattle and hog manure, where there's a big difference between the dry and the liquid state. So most often you'll hear poultry manure referred to as dry litter. And because this is a broiler facility, most all the birds will be housed on the ground. And so that waste will mix with the component that they're using for bedding. And then when the buildings are cleaned out, the buildings then, the manure that mixes in with the wood chips, if that's what they're doing, is the dry litter has a very valuable resale value on it to be used as fertilizer on the ag land in the area. Again, we sent out the 46 letters. Out of that, we heard testimony from three individuals. One was Shirley Martin, who spoke about the concerns for the odor. If you look on your map, she is 1.1 or 1.2 miles from the proposed site. Dave Claybaugh was also there with the NRD, and he spoke on a neutral basis, asking questions of the applicant about the water requirements needed for the production facility, the day-to-day water requirements. And at the hearing, the Zimmermans stated that they currently have their own well in place, but they would be researching as time went on their options if they needed to drill another well on their own property or utilize the NRD if that was an option. So Barry Lewis was also there with Midwest Livestock. He spoke in support of the operation, and actually he answered a lot of our questions that a commission as we had just on the facility itself and the industry standards in today's poultry production. We know that the most sensitive part of this whole application or with any livestock facility is odor. And at what point does it become a nuisance? And so whether it's odor, flies, rodents, or maybe it's the effect that it has on the surrounding properties in the area, a tremendous amount of research went into when we wrote the regs. We had three hearings on the process because we set setbacks based upon AUs, and that's what we complied with. So that was the fairest way to enforce, to be able to give those landowners options of what could or could not happen to their land. So we asked a lot of questions of the applicant, and we also asked questions of those concerned citizens. And we want to thank them for being truthful in their concerns and also sharing their vision for the future. So as a commission, we had a full commission. Thank you for appointing Dennis Rosine. He was at our hearing, and so we had six yeses and one abstaining at our meeting. So questions?
As normal, pretty detailed. There's not a whole lot of questions to be asked.
Okay.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for the work you guys do and the time you guys put in for this. Because, yeah.
9:34, a little bit long because of the receiving the recommendation for planning and zoning, but I need a motion to open up a public hearing to hear support, opposition, support and or opposition for the public use permit number 20142 for poultry production located in Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Need a motion to open a public hearing?
I would move to open the public hearing.
Moved by second. Byers, seconded by Hill. Vote. 7-0. We are in a public hearing. There is a clipboard over here. If you'd like to speak for, against, or neutral, just to make comments, you're welcome to do that. We do ask that folks sign in, and then we'll take turns and go through and listen to those who would like to speak.
Just give my own personal comment while we're waiting. I think this is a great economic development thing for Gage County and for this part of the state. I think this is just absolutely wonderful.
Sharon Keady, like to speak, sounds like neutral maybe. Sharon, like to speak? Sharon Keady. Yes. Yes.
Good morning. We have a house a half a mile north of the where they're planning to keep their chickens, and I was wondering about the odor there. I know when we would go on 77 by the other chicken farm, the odor was atrocious. I can't imagine. We have a grandson living on this place now. They have a little child, and I was wondering about the odors there. Otherwise,
can you identify yourself for the record, please?
Sharon Keady.
Okay.
I thought I did. I'm sorry.
And your address as well. I'm sorry.
Okay. We live in Wymore now, but we own the land that's north of there.
She's on the map there, just straight north.
And we have a grandson, Adam, living there with his wife and a year-old baby. It's on South 80th Road.
And the odors, I guess I would defer back to the planning and zoning. I know Lisa's spoken before, and I couldn't speak to the odors. What type of odor would be there?
Well, we've raised chickens before, and there is an odor. I don't care whether it's dry or liquid, but there is an odor. And I just wondered, is there something... she said that mixed with wood chips, I believe.
Litter.
And I wonder, is this going to hold down the odor, or...
Maybe when we have the applicants speak later, maybe they could address that part of the issue.
Okay, that was just my main concern. Yep. Thank you.
James Zimmerman?
Yeah.
Would you both like to speak? Yeah.
Yeah, we do everything together.
Okay. Smart man.
Yeah.
So these are both the applicants here, and just name an address for the record. We have the documentation.
Yeah. James Zimmerman, 7717 East Beeline Road, Blue Springs, Nebraska.
Maury Zimmerman, 7717 East Beeline Road, Blue Springs, Nebraska.
Could you just maybe, just before you start, speak directly to the Mrs. Keating's concern about the odor.
Sure, that's a big concern. Mrs. Martin, Shirley Martin, brought it up also. She just so happens she's first cousin to my mom and my uncle, and so she's my cousin too. You know, I was like, Shirley, you know. but the poultry production, the way it's advanced, I know the smell. I can remember as a child driving back and forth on some of the other properties that it's like, you know, had to roll your window up. I mean, but the way poultry production is now, these barns are run on a computer-generated system that regulates the temperature, the airflow. That's why we went with MBA, because working in several different areas and working in the power industry, which I have, they always call us to go if they're out of power, so I see a lot of this stuff. And these barns are designed in a way that the barns that I went through last probably had 3.5 to 4 pound birds in them. And when you walked in there and kicked the litter was actually, it's just dry. It's wood chips. And that how they keep it dry is that computer system constantly regulates everything inside that building. The building's completely closed. It's not an open tent system, you know, what we're used to in the past. So that's how they keep the odor down, the beetles down, and things of that nature, you know. It's pretty awesome. The last hearing we had, I invited anybody that wanted to go over to Tecumseh and look at the barns. I'd pick them up and take them over there just so they could see and experience that the smell's nothing like it. It is with the old poultry barns. And where we're placing them, they're going to be right south of our house. And surely, well, she wouldn't let me have them there if they were.
when we went to Tecumseh and went through the barns, I have never been really around stuff like that. So I'm thinking, holy cow, 26,000 birds. And I'll tell you, even walking into the barn, if you were going to smell something, you would think you'd smell it outside. If you didn't smell it outside, surely when you walked in the barn. Now, I'm not going to say that when I walked in the barn that I couldn't tell that I was in a livestock barn, but it was nothing like what I mean, you don't have to. It didn't bother me whatsoever. And, you know, these birds were 3 to 4 pound birds, so they were about ready. You know, they'd been in there for probably, I'd say, 5 to 6 weeks by that point. So just as Jim said, the way that it's advanced and the way that it's controlled, I can't tell you that there isn't going to be a little bit of an odor. But I'll tell you what I experienced when I went in there. And when we pulled up there, and there was over 10, how many barns were on that site?
There's 26
barns on that site, and I'm serious. So even after that, even after the barns are cleaned out, and the litter is out of the barn, we have farmers that we've already... that they've already said they wanted it for fertilizer. I've researched a lot on here. I did find one article, and I believe that this attorney out of Lincoln did a whole exhibit at a livestock conference on the poultry production. And there was one case in 2005 where in Oklahoma the attorney general filed complaint against several Arkansas-based poultry production. And one of the major things was the litter, the concern of the litter. And the court found that it is dry litter, it's considered a commodity, and it is not a nuisance. So, I mean, we've researched completely, and like I said, we're going to have, you know, 6 barns right there by our house. And if it was going to be something major like that... You know, who wants to live around that? So if you're a half a mile, or however far away, I don't think there's going to be much of an odor of what people are thinking, because I do understand. I mean, raising chickens the way that they used to be raised versus this is a production, and it's a major production. They've really got the science down. to where that they're, you know, the nuisances or anything that has anybody, you know. And they said, it's a different, if it's a different type of litter, whether it be dry litter or wet litter, there is a major difference in wet and dry litter.
Well, and I might add, too, that's how MBAs, the science that they've put into their feed, into their growth ratios, and that's part of what they've done is they've learned by experience that you have to keep that litter dry. You can't have, well, like our chickens, you can't have them living out there, and they have to be in dry. Like they say, a happy chicken grows quick, you know. So that's their big selling point is keeping them happy, keeping them dry, and that's the big issue with them, you know. And they have people. The good thing about MBA is they have people that are out there weekly, constantly regulating the computer system and making sure that everything's like it's supposed to be. That's one of their huge selling points is the way the condition they keep their barns and their animals in. It's not 20 years ago where you just have a feedlot and, you know, it's a very controlled environment.
I just a question about where the barns are set up here. The aerial photo I'm looking at, it looks like there's litter storage, and that'd be on the south side of the building, mm-hmm. the south side of the mm-hmm. property. So with the measuring the setback, how far back is that from the road to the back of this proposed? What's the depth there? That looks like 3/10 of a mile, or how far back is that?
Can I put a footage on? I think on the bottom in red.
Okay. So it's 850, is that right? So when the measurements were from the corner of the furthest barn north to the residence, because this the Keedy's place is directly north of this, correct? Kind of north
so
and
the
east.
The measurements were taken from the nearest wall of manure production, which would be the closest building to the Keedy's then.
So there's an additional
or to any residence on there. So you still got your manure production, we have to measure from the nearest producing, so that'd be the first barn.
So the dry litter, I guess, what they're putting back would be behind the buildings, even further away, an additional 800 and some feet.
If there's a stockpile of the litter, if they don't get rid of the litter right away, and the stockpile, that pile will be directed.
That's where it would be.
South.
So there's an opportunity to be even, from what I'm seeing here, maybe an additional 800 feet even further south from the residence. But in all practical speaking, there's probably going to be, I mean, you're producing some odor there. There'll probably be some, but it appears as though all the requirements for DEQ are met.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But I think their concern's valid. They're the closest residence that's going to probably get the prevailing winds in the summertime when you spend
right.
time outside. They're coming from the southwest, which will go straight northeast to the residence. So I think it's a valid point. But
yeah, when the guys from the DEQ come out, I walked them out there, and we walked over the whole site. And there were two of them, and they said that the way the lay of the land was where we're at, and they didn't see any special requirements. But I'll also add that we're looking into putting in this Ecodrum. It's a composter, and there's some money available right now to maybe build a facility. I just got this stuff, so. From Steve Hazen and his bunch. It's an actual facility that holds a composter. You know, if you compost those birds, 40-ounce chick, you have no problem windrowing it, and it's going to be gone in just a couple days. But if you're talking about a 4-pound bird, you know, you might have some problems. So we're looking in. I talked to our banker about investing in this compost facility, and we're looking into it right now with Midwest Livestock to see how this can fit in with our plans. But we will have there will be containment base back there if you guys would like to look at this.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, because we were talking about the waste production, but what is the mortality rate? What is the that you have there? That death rate and the decomposing chicken may not worse than the.
It's like 93% livability.
Livability. So you're looking at around 7%, 7% of what you're putting in there. So we truly are trying to do everything environmental friendly. We're trying to go above and beyond of what's required.
What the litter smells like. Okay.
Oh. Start that on that, Andy. Mr. Juergens will start her. Yeah, start with the press, and if they die, then we'll.
And we can see it from here, Steve, so we don't need to go around the corner.
We'll just watch Terry's face.
Yeah, right. We'll watch Terry.
This is the litter right here? Really?
That's what comes out of the composter. That's a composter.
This is composted litter.
It's composted.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah.
This is not litter.
Would you like to come forward and see this as well? You want to see the?
I can bring it over to you, or if you'd like. I mean,
that's 7 pounds.
You know, that's the thing. When we're livestock friendly, and we are an ag county, and we want to continue to have opportunities economically, but it's the point of being a good neighbor as well. And I think there's a sincere effort here to do that. So I think that it's good to have this discussion and maybe alleviate any concerns that are there.
Right.
You're going to open that up, Roger? Yes, Terry.
I guess probably more the odor problem would be seen when you haul the dry matter out and there is a rain shower or something on it, you know, for a day or two. Am I right about that? I mean, so it's more probably where you haul the manure more than where the facility is located, if I'd have to get. Is that right, Steve? Or?
Sure.
Okay.
Being on the back side of the barn, they'd be a long ways from that.
Yeah.
They're not stockpiling quite a year's supply of
water. Right.
Smell it.
I think this one that smells considerably less gives to the news media to try out over there.
This is Steve Gaywood.
Oh, digest. Scott, that's not potpourri. Potpourri. So did you get a chance to? I mean, there's an ammonia smell to it, but
as with anything, if you got a good neighbor and somebody that's doing a good job of taking care of their animals and treating the building the way it's supposed to, you're going to have a light smell, but you're not going to have an overpowering smell.
Exactly.
You know, if you neglect it and you don't take care of things like you're supposed to, obviously there's going to be an issue eventually. Yeah. You know, but
litter coming out of the barns; it's composted
that's
litter.
Right. That's the dead animals that come
right.
And then what you're smelling is Waldo. It would be at Waldo Farms. It was a swine operation that has one in operation right now. Mm-hmm. And what Jim was referring to is the NRCS now has funds available for funding equidrums, as well as they funded manure pits and that type of thing. So there's cost share money available. And that's what he was referring to at this particular point in time. So then you also have the containment field drawings from the standpoint of where the composter would sit, and then the storage places where the compost would be held. It's a covered facility, so there's going to be that.
I appreciate your official comments, because now you're on the public record, but I need your name and address for the record.
I'll put my name and address
down. Just good information, and I appreciate that, but just officially we need name and address for the record. So. See, if you talk in an open meeting, this is what happens.
I know. Thank you.
Sorry, I interrupted. I thought that addressing the odor was a concern. Thank you. What else would you like to share?
I kind of wanted to share that in your packet, I believe you have from the Nebraska University of Nebraska Extension, Nebraska Poultry Production letter that was written by Paul C. Hay. Down at the bottom, you're talking about the economy. The addition to the broiler industry and the egg laying facility in our area contribute to our economy through labor value added to the grain used in feed, processing and sales, employment, trucking, and added tax valuation. I mean, it is a big economic, you know, for the county. It really is. And I mean, I just want to say that Jim and I really have put our heart and soul in this, and we will do what we're supposed to. You know, we will maintain the buildings like we're supposed to. This is our livelihood. You know, this is where we'll get our income. We moved back home for a reason. You know, the good Lord led us here, And this is what we really truly want to do, and we want to do it the right way. There isn't anything that we haven't researched, you know, knowing what the questions were going to be, and including our questions. Like we said, we're going to be living there. We've researched MBA down to the fullest, and there I've tried everywhere. I can't find anything in there where there's been any problems with any of the other poultry production for them. You know, if the buildings are built right, Midwest does an amazing job on it. They know what they're doing, you know. Any questions that we have, we go straight to MBA. They answer it. They've done extensive research also. I mean, they have over 26 barns on their site, you know. And it is the largest leading production in the world for organic chickens, so they know what they're doing.
But this is not organic chicken, though.
No, but we're not doing the organic side. We're doing the other. But they've totally researched, you know, to where, you know, you have a little bit more things that you have to do with the organic. That's why we decided to do the other.
Yeah, we wanted that flexibility. Just going to standard organic, sometimes you run into some problems that you can't fix.
Right.
You know, so.
Yes. Assuming this passes, when would you look at starting on this, or what is your, give us a little timeline, I guess, or something?
Right now, we just wanted to make sure our banker, I'll be real firm, he was real firm about it. He's like, let's make sure we get through these hearings. We were going to go ahead and drill some more wells. A local plumber, in fact, a local plumber called me last week and said, hey, we can get out there and dig some more wells today. You know, we got a little slack, and I said, no, let's hold off. Let's wait and get through our hearings. And we've already invested some money, and if anybody's been by, we've invested money in our pond and some things like that to try to improve and to help the property out. And we're just going to, you know, wait and see your decision, and then we'll go forward.
And certainly after it's approved, I think that's a great idea. You drill some wells before you build any barns because water can be hard to hit in places in that area. And one other thing, and it works for other producers in Gage County, but just so you know, county roads are not snowplowed at night, and I know you're going to load them all at night, but snowplows do not operate at night on county roads. You are a little farther than some producers as far as being from a state highway.
When we talk to them there at MBA, you know, I think they have their route, you know, what they're going to plan on doing.
So. And I'm sure they could have some flexibility, and most winters haven't been that tough, you know, but we have had a tough one in the last 10 years.
But, yeah, I talked to them our last hearing. You were there, and I've talked to him since at the Rural Water, and he's like, yeah, well, he said it's available for you, you know, because we were just wanting to use that as backup in case something happened to one of the wells, or, you know, those chickens can't be without water.
Yep, right, at all.
No, so we've already talked to him about that, and we're just waiting for this hearing to see what we need to go forward with.
Anything else you'd like to share with us? Any comments or questions for the folks?
No. Thank you for
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on our list? Anybody else on our list that wants to speak? Now, last call here. Anyone else who hasn't signed the list and really wants to speak? Okay, I need a motion to close the public hearing at 9:58.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Setzer. Vote. Zero. We're out of the public hearing. So what we'll do is a point of process. We won't take action today. We'll come back in 2 weeks and actually take formal action on this. We changed that a couple, it's been half a year or maybe longer, where that gives the board an opportunity to hear everything. And then if folks want to go out there and actually see, because sometimes in the past we had heard and seen things here that we never had an actual opportunity to go and put our foot on anything as far as go aground, see a tower, see setbacks and things like that. So this will be on the agenda for approval or disapproval in 2 weeks. And that date is 23rd. Okay.
Yeah, I might add, anybody who wants to come out, there's been some burglary problems out there, so we put some gates up. But anybody that wants to come out and look the side over, you're more than welcome to come out. I'll walk you back there and show you. We've got it all lined out where everything would be. Just feel free to come on in.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Well, back to public comments one last time, as we've had some folks file in. Anything else for the regular board meeting? If not, the last thing we have on our agenda is go to a closed session to discuss personnel. I need a motion to go into closed session to discuss personnel necessary for the protection of the public interest and or for the protection of the needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I need a motion to go to a closed session.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Byers. Vote. 7-0.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Thank you.
I need a dollar for my coffee.
Yep. Motion to come out of closed session, 10:35.
Move to come out of closed session.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Second by
Setzer.
Vote.
Whoever.
7-0. We do have one item after a closed session, and it is related to personnel. I need a motion to approve or disapprove an agreement to temporarily remove the vacation cap for a county employee.
Gary. I'm for motion.
Need a motion to approve or disapprove. Want to make the motion? I need a motion to approve or disapprove the agreement to temporarily remove the vacation cap for a county employee.
What's that? I need that, Galen.
Oh, here.
I make a motion to approve this agreement. Name?
Got a motion. Need a second?
Second.
Second by Lytle. Discussion, sir. Yes.
Okay. This is an agreement with a county employee, Bob Davis. We have a unique situation here. He is up against his hours as far as vacation time, and he is the main guy in charge of all of our overlay projects. So with that being said, in light of the unique circumstances of the unforeseen nature of this agreement, Davis may accumulate vacation time in excess of that which is allowed under the employee handbook. But Davis shall use excess vacation time prior to December 31st, 2014. If the vacation time which has accumulated in excess of this cap is not used before December 31st, 2014, it shall be paid out to Davis on a first pay period in 2015.
Any more comments or discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
This has got next.
All right.
I can have that one. You gave one.
That is all we have on our agenda.
Galen.
This one.
You gave me
one. Oh.
He's going to sleep.
Is Matt got one to be signed?
I got one to sign.
Terry, you've got to sign one.
You got to sign one up here
after that little nap.
Okay.
All right. We will stand adjourned at 10:38.
Until you get home tonight.